So this week, what we're doing is coming up with weird guys.
Yeah, I love to make up a guy and give him a pointy object, and then just let him wreak havoc on some teenagers.
Yeah, make up a guy challenge, 2023. So slasher movies. It is our challenge this week is, of course, to make up a guy.
Yeah, make up a Fredward or a Jason. Make up a memorable guy.
Fredward.
Fredward. What do you think Freddy was short for?
Fredward Krueger.
Yeah. Fredward Knife Hands Krueger.
Fredward Krueger. Hello. I have knifey hands.
So I just want to point out, Ross pointed out to us that you posted the title post on Friday the 13th and,
oh, no.
Shit.
And just did not recognize
didn't acknowledge
it was
it at
Friday
all.
I didn't notice.
A Friday the 13th in October, of all things. The scariest of the Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
I did not even notice. Yeah, I put up, but I think what I put up was sufficient to scare people's socks up on Friday the 13th, because it was just a picture of the Winnie the Pooh slasher movie.
Oh, Blood and Honey, yes.
Yeah. Love that you knew the subtitle of that.
No, that's just the title. It's just called Blood and Honey.
Yeah. Oh no, sorry, the tagline is this ain't no bedtime story.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course. I like watching that trailer, because
of course.
Eden, I'm sure you've seen the movie, but,
I haven't seen the movie. The trailer's all you need.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, watching the trailer, I was very much like, this is a shame.
Yep.
This is a shame. It's a shame that both Winnie and Piglet, who are the two slashers in this movie, who are chasing around a bunch of teens or whatever, and kill Christopher Robin and his wife or whatever. They're both just guys in a mask.
Yeah.
It's not like a teddy bear is running around. It's not like Child's Play. This ain't.
No.
Right.
And nor is it just a big bear. Like, it ain't Cocaine Bear either. Like, I only...
No.
The reason I didn't see Blood and Honey is because I only have room in my schedule for one Killer Bear movie a year, and Cocaine Bear already filled that.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I was just tremendously disappointed that someone, like, that instead of it being, like, either a little piglet creature, you know, killing people, or a big pig...
I mean,
it was.
Saw.
It was
Saw already has guy in pig mask kills people. You can't just redo that.
Exactly. It was just a man with, like, the build of Vincent D'Onofrio, running around in a pig mask. It's not okay.
That's a real letdown.
At what point are we supposed to believe that Christopher Robin was like, oh, I'm going to make friends with these guys. I'm just out in the woods. I'm going to make friends with this enormous man in a pig mask.
So obviously this film came out, like, after Winnie the Pooh went into public domain. And I feel like they already had a full generic slasher film script ready to go. And they just, like, changed some names to capitalize on the Winnie the Pooh thing. Like, it's so very little to actually... You change the colour of that bear mask and it's not a Winnie the Pooh film anymore.
I think there is a subplot, which is like, Christopher Robin went away from the Hundred Acre Wood, found a girl, settled down, then brought her back, or his fiance back to the Hundred Acre Wood to show her in his adulthood, and since then they've gone feral or something, and it's like, it's just spooky wood then.
Yeah.
That's what you've done.
You've just done couple young couple comes to spooky wood, gets attacked by guys in masks. That is every other slasher film.
especially given that, like, also running alongside that, they just have bunch of college age girls, like, oh, we're gonna stay in this little house for, oh, we're gonna have a fun time in the hot tub Airbnb in the woods. And it's like, right, that was just put... The Christopher Robin stuff, right, maybe you've got a little bit of plot for that. You certainly didn't have any plot for group of college-age girls in an Airbnb in the woods.
Yeah.
That one was just for more people to terrorise.
Yeah, it was just for an excuse to put more people in fun death scenarios.
Which is, which we found last week that... When we pitched the movie Sheep, it was essentially the plot of the movie was how can individual people die in various sheep related traumas, yeah. And how can they have deserved it?
I've seen a horror film about sheep. I think I've actually seen two horror films about that. I think there's one's called Black Sheep, and I think there's another one that's a New Zealand horror film about sheep.
Yeah. Yep. I think we mentioned that.
That's the one I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the horror is it's a zombie movie, but the horror is what if New Zealand is really full of sheep.
Yeah.
Like you can't get anywhere without seeing sheep, so it would be scary if they were zombies.
It's like someone should make the same film but in New York, and it's all the pigeons and rats turning into zombies.
That would be terrifying.
That would be over quickly, I think. no one's surviving that.
No.
Well, isn't it Birdemic? Is that what you've just pitched?
Well, Birdemic is like all of the... Well, in Birdemic, they're not zombies. The birds are mad about climate change.
Oh, right, okay. if only there was a film in which the birds started attacking people... For no reason, because the birds, like, when they get together, can be quite terrifying.
Yeah, a bird is not scary, but the birds is very scary.
Yeah, like, a load of the birds is a lot,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a lot to handle.
It's amazing that that Birdemic was the first film to do that.
Get a load Birdemic of, sequel.
Aren't there like two?
What?
Isn't there like a trilogy of Birdemic movies?
Yes, there is a Birdemic trilogy. I had erased the third one from my memory because the existence of the second one was already too much.
Like Birdemic and stuff like that. I think like there's a few films that sort of came out roughly around the same time that were much better to watch as YouTube reviews. than actual like films. Like this film is made for a YouTube review to be enjoyed by. It's
like
yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen The Room. Like of course you guys have seen The Room.
Yeah.
It's really boring for like the first half hour. Like
The three sex scenes in the movie happen in the first half hour.
Yeah, like just
that's
out
the
of
most
nowhere,
entertaining
with
moment.
No build. It's so I can only watch that for like 20 minutes in because all of the like fun, entertaining scenes that are in all of the reviews are from that point onwards.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with like Food Fight, the animated room. It's ridiculously boring to watch the full film.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Room, like, yeah, you're right. It is the first half an hour is just sex scenes, followed by, like, 30 seconds of dialogue and then another sex scene.
It's
like,
establishing shot sex scene.
Why are these front-loaded? I don't understand.
So, like, with The Room, you're either watching it for the first time and being like, what the fuck? That's one of the best times to watch it. Or you're watching it with someone else who's watching it for the first time. Or you're watching it in the cinema with a bunch of people throwing spoons at the cinema screen.
I have sadly never been able to do that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun.
I would love to watch it in a cinema. Like, I've got a mate that lives down in London, so he's seen it like in a cinema with Tommy Wiseau. And I'm like, that's wild.
I watched it. There was Greg Sestero when I watched it, but yeah, like such an odd experience, because it's like people just screaming at the cinema screen, like just shouting, and no one's like, it's for some people it'd be like the worst cinema experience ever, but like for everyone there was just so involved in what was happening on and off the screen. It was so much fun to do. It's not like a cinema experience. It's just you're going into a film and just watching it with a bunch of people that are all there to watch this same bad movie. And they all know how bad it is, so no one... There was a moment in which an entire room said the line, "The results are in, I definitely have breast cancer," in this monotonous voice. The whole room said it towards the screen.
Wow.
And it was like, you'll never get this at any other cinema screen.
No. it's like that and Rocky Horror, which... People have forgotten that most of the enjoyment for Rocky Horror is because it's a bad film.
People watch
it in the same way. People used to watch Rocky Horror the same way people watch The Room now. And now, like, people have forgotten that Rocky Horror used to be a so bad it's good film. And they just... I don't know.
Like, because there was this big culture around going to see the show, like, people, like, dressing up to go and see the stage show, like, it's like there's a different energy, I think. People have, like, tried to convert that over to the movie.
Yeah, but it just don't really hold up.
It's a shit movie.
I think more stage shows, also people should be forced to dress up like the characters. Could you imagine if people did what they did for Rocky Horror with Priscilla, Queen of the Desert? And a whole theatre of people in drag. They don't do drag anywhere else, just to watch Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
And you are forced to. You're made. You don't get in unless you get
two options: dress in drag or dress like a bus. Which one is more difficult? Which one is more difficult?
There's a bunch of really straight men coming in dressed as a bus.
Dressed as a bus, or somehow dressed like the Australian Outback.
and yeah, you're right. It would be a caste system, right? In that audience, it would be like you're either in drag or you're dressed as a bus and you're getting driven before everyone else.
I just really want the guys who came collectively dressed as a bus to have different cinema seats, so they've got to split up their sections of the bus.
They've got to organise so they all sit behind each other.
Yeah. And it's at a screening where the seats are like in a diagonal, you know, where it's like...
Yeah, they're like staggered.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're a weird, like, snake bus.
We didn't realise one of us was in the circle. Oh.
They should also do that because with other bus related stage shows like American Idiot, for instance.
how deep did you have to go to get another bus related stage show? Is that why you were quiet for like 20 seconds?
No, American Idiot, just I remember watching it, you know, the American Idiot being the Green Day musical. I remember watching it, and like I had to like stop at several junctures because I was either I can't do this anymore I can't do this anymore, or I had to go and show Tom. Like, those were my two reactions.
See, I thought you had to stop at several junctions because you were dressed like a bus and weren't sure if this was your turn.
But yeah, they get into what can loosely be described as a bus. It's abstractly a bus.
Ah, yes.
It's a big...
one of those Dadaist buses.
Yeah, it's a big metal climbing frame that they all sit in or around pretending to be on a bus.
It's like a school play.
Yeah. That show is shit. It is like...
Now I've heard things about that show, and generally it's how is this show shit? Is it really that bad?
Yeah, no, it's like, you know, like the worst. I mean, like the Avengers really tried, right? Hawkeye or whatever really tried to outline how bad Broadway can get when it's trying to frame like real events, or like, you know, it's kind of jazzing things up a bit.
Yeah.
American Idiot was another level altogether. it was so like shit alt theater kid that like because the source material wasn't really dramatic, you know, like it's about basically comfortable middle class children or like the middle class teens,
yeah.
Just not really liking.
There's not really
their
a conflict in the concept of
much.
That album.
When I listen to the original album, I always just go back to the kind of scenario like in Malcolm in the Middle, and them just leaving home and going to do drugs and stuff. And like back when I was a kid, I was just sort of like, oh, this would be a great idea for like a rock opera, because it is. The whole album's a rock opera. And then when I saw the stage production, I was like, oh yeah, this is exactly how you do it. It's just shit.
it's incredibly
do it any other way.
It's incredibly faithful. It's just a bad. It's a good adaptation of bad source material.
Yeah.
I've not seen the stage production. I've also not listened to American Idiot all the way through.
You're not missing much.
Yeah. I was never really a big Green Day fan, if I'm honest.
No.
They're just fine.
I remember watching a Green Day, like when Green Day first got together, look how young Billy Joe What's-His-Face is.
I'm sure.
Like, whoa, these guys are so young and stuff. And then I'm looking at the crowd and it's all like very rich white kids. And then I'm looking at the fact that they are surrounded by people with big, full, like, very, very expensive camera equipment.
Yeah.
Because they're at school, right? Like, this is them at their high school or whatever performing out on the front of the high school. And, yeah, everyone's got massive camera equipment and they're like... And it's like... Where... Why are you complaining, boys?
Life's a pitch, conspiracy theory. Green Day are industry plants.
Yeah.
That's where the green comes from. Plant.
I'm gonna throw this out there and say Blink-182 industry plants as well, because I just want to get Tom DeLonge conspiracy theory not associated with UFOs anymore.
you want to SEO optimize away from UFOs.
Yeah,
I think he's done so much legwork. You've picked a very difficult job there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we are going after the ratings of Joe Rogan, so we're heading.
That's true. Yeah,
like
you've got some homework to do.
Set impossible goals, and you will only laugh when you can't hit them.
make failure feel less impactful by setting goals you were never going to hit in the first place. Tom's guide
pretty
to
much,
life.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. So, when we say Joe Rogan, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
Like, you're on the top spot there. And you like scroll down, like having never interacted with a Joe Rogan product in my entire life, when I scroll through Spotify, I don't even listen to podcasts on Spotify.
No.
And it's like, and so here's the things you were listening to last week. Here's some stuff that we think you might like. Here's the things you've explicitly told us that you like. And now...
Joe Rogan? Anyone for Joe Rogan?
Spotify has stopped trying to promote me, Joe Rogan. I don't listen to podcasts on Spotify either. Somehow, though, the podcasts it recommends are podcasts I'm already subscribed to on my podcast app. And I don't know if that means that, like, the weird esoteric mix of unsigned artists of various genres that I listen to can only be listened to by specific genres of podcast dork. Or if it's like, I don't know, got a deal with the podcast app. Spotify knows me way too well. Like, it's like, we found another artist that has less followers than you on Twitter. You'll like them, right? And I'm like, yes, of course I will. What genre do they play? I've never heard of that. It's going to be so cool.
Slasher movies, eh?
Slasher movies. I think our goal is to come up with just, like you said, just like a weird guy.
A weird That's guy it. With a new sharp object that nobody's ever killed with before.
Okay, but like, what are we? We've got to do the traditional challenge, though. We haven't done this yet for this genre. What is the closest thing to a slasher movie that you wouldn't describe as a slasher movie, or what's the kind of like the furthest thing away from a slasher movie that is still in the genre?
I'm going to start off with the closest thing to, which might be. This is on the precipice, because some people say it's a slasher movie, some people don't. Where do you guys classify Alien?
Oh,
is Alien a slasher movie?
Yeah.
Because to some people, Alien is a sci-fi slasher. To some people, it's just a movie. It's just a sci-fi movie. I think it counts as a slasher movie. It's just a slasher movie sat in a spaceship.
Alien's just Jaws in space. Like, they're trying to open the space
beach. That implies that in Jaws, at some point, the shark gets on the boat.
It does! Which, it gets on the boat!
But not for, like, the latter two-thirds of the film.
And are they still trying to open the space beach?
I don't know.
I don't think at any point the mayor of space says nope, it's safe.
Where in the metaphor is the space beach?
The metaphor in the space beach is corporate greed. That's what I was guessing.
I see.
There's a lot of corporate greed in Alien, and there are quite a lot of the reason for keeping the alien on the ship. It's I realise now the rabbit hole I'm going down is completely incorrect for the movie
to
Alien.
The bit, Tom.
Well, this is the thing. Like, it's what makes it a monster movie, not a slasher movie.
Oh no! Wait, I was like... right. So Ash wants to keep the alien on the ship for corporate greed because they're trying to find a weapon for it.
What, like a little mace? Like, yeah. It's like, this alien isn't deadly enough.
We need to give it a sharp object. That makes it a slasher movie.
The alien is the weapon that Ash, Ian Holm, wants to keep on the ship so they can get it back and study it. So the corporate. It's like Jaws. As in. No, it's not. I'm going a completely wrong direction. But it's like Jaws in the fact that. There's something evil that they should get rid of, but they won't
because of corporate greed.
There we go. There we go. There's a lot of holes in that argument.
That's why it's Jaws in space.
Yep. Unrelated though, have you ever seen Moose Jaws?
No.
Moose Jaws is a Kevin Smith film. It was the follow up to Tusk. And it's Jaws, but with a moose. And it's just set in the backwoods of Canada, and it's Jaws with a moose.
Wow, of course it is.
Much like Tusk, it was an idea that started off while he was recording a podcast high off his tits. And he wrote it down and thought, this is a great idea. And then he got less high and thought, this is still somehow a great idea.
We need to get Kevin Smith on the show.
He would. Approach him while he's high, he'll do it. He'll do anything.
Yeah. I kind of like Jaws as a slasher movie, though.
Yeah.
Jaws
is arguably a slasher movie. His mouth is full of sharp objects.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, is there anything where, like... Are there any movies where, like, there's not even any killing, but there's constantly that impending dread of someone turning up?
I mean, it's not a film, but the whole idea of, like, Death of a Salesman is that. The impending doom of somebody turning up. See, also Waiting for Godot, I assume.
yeah, because you assume that they're waiting for, and you're like, oh, is he gonna turn up or nah?
Nah.
Is Godot gonna turn up?
I'm gonna go with a running joke and say nope. Is a
nope,
slasher
nope
movie.
Nope is. See, I was actually gonna say Get Out, but
Get
like,
Out.
It's almost a slasher movie, but then it goes Jordan Peele off the rails.
Yeah. I think Us would probably fall out of all of Jordan Peele's movies. I think Us would probably fall into the slasher category.
Yeah, it's the closest thing to a slasher than the others. I think he was intentionally trying to like do a slasher film.
Yeah,
for part of
and
that.
Then,
I've not actually seen Us. Is the one I haven't seen, which is
it's his weakest in my
opinion.
Yeah,
it's the one people talk about the least.
Yeah,
I've got it down. I've got it like ready to go on like my Plex server. It's just,
but it is still very good.
Yeah, like, it's a Jordan Peele film. It wasn't going to be bad, was it?
It's the worst of a good bunch.
Yeah,
it's just amazing that like Get Out and Nope are so good that Us just gets pushed by the wayside. But yeah, Us
is like the bounties in a box of celebrations. It's still good chocolate, but it's the least good in that box.
Yeah, it's still chocolate, but it's
yeah.
It's
I will
great.
Eat it, and I will enjoy it.
As I think, sort of lands in that. Well, takes a lot of the slasher tropes in. Like, there's a lot of people going around with scissors, in red jumpsuits, killing everyone. That's it. It's like if everyone had their own personal slasher villain. Like that's the plot of Us.
It's like monster in my pocket, but way less cute.
Yeah.
Slasher movies are more personal.
Yes.
Aren't they? They're like someone's got a grudge personally against whoever this is, or like, and it could be just the who this person is, like what their personality is, or just they're in the wrong, they've strayed into the wrong place. But like it, whatever, whoever this slasher is was made by their environment, and it's almost always like a personal thing. Therefore, I think, I think Cats is the closest thing to a slasher movie without being a slasher movie.
I mean,
visually,
it's a cosmic horror, but I think you're not wrong in that it could qualify as a slasher without the slashing.
You're just constantly panicking that James Corden's going to turn up.
That's
again.
True. I mean, that's just life. I mean, like, isn't that just life in LA?
Yeah, I think so.
there was that thing where they were promoting, what was it, Cinderella, and they were just out on a street.
That crosswalk, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing a dance party.
He's just LA's slasher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles slasher, James Corden.
Limmy,
submitted by Ross Originals.
If you were to make a slasher movie where James Corden is the villain, it'd be Limmy as the hero of the story. Limmy, who seems to be obsessed with James Corden.
I would love to watch a Limmy slasher film. That would be. I think more comedians need to start making horror movies, because I would watch a Limmy slasher film.
There are several like good Limmy's Homemade Show sketches, which basically are slasher movies.
Oh, Limmy, if you're listening, you need to make a horror movie, because it'd be great.
Yeah. He's made loads of little short horror movies, but they're just terrifying because, you know, he's so straight faced about when making them.
The Matrix Reloaded has some elements of a slasher movie, as in like this one guy going around killing everyone, but he's got a grudge against this one person who killed him in the last movie. And
that is like Halloween Reboot, now that you mention it.
Yeah. He's now copying himself just so he can get back at the person who killed him.
Yeah, when you frame it like that, that's kind of the plot of the Halloween Reboots. Like, Michael Myers hates the city, but specifically hates Jamie Lynn Spears. No, Jamie Lee Curtis. Or Jamie Lynn Spears.
Jamie Lynn
Fuck
Spears!
It, both of them. Yeah, Halloween. Wow. Halloween cross Zoe 101. That's the mashup that I'm making.
Oh my god,
that would be so good.
I have never heard of Zoe 101, but in the context of you talking about Jamie Lynn Spears, I know exactly what it is.
It was a Nickelodeon sitcom. It was
exactly.
It was Victorious or iCarly, but with Jamie Lynn Spears.
Oh,
that is exactly what I thought it would be. I was gonna say Disney Channel, but no, Nickelodeon makes more sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I've definitely decided
exactly what my pick is for. Not a slasher movie, but feels most like a slasher movie.
Go on.
Mm.
It's Dune, and the slasher is Hans Zimmer.
Yep. Having only ever seen the old bad Dune, yeah, I agree. Because Hans Zimmer never shows up in that one.
Yeah.
Hans Zimmer never shows up in that one, and it's not a slasher film. So if you add a Hans Zimmer, technically you're correct. Because I don't think he shows up. He doesn't do the music in that film, does he?
No, I don't think so. I think you're right, because Hans Zimmer in quite a lot of movies recently has done a really terrible job of just absolutely taking a stab at the audience every 10 minutes.
Hans Zimmer jump scare.
Exactly. It literally is that.
My dad really wanted to fall asleep during Blade Runner 2049, and he couldn't, because every 10 minutes, it would just be like, bam! Ah, what the hell?
Honk!
You know, what, like,
he just likes honking at the audience.
Like an angry goose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For this whole trend of like aggressive film scores, I blame Inception. We never recovered from the Inception boire.
Which is also a Zimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christopher Nolan ruined Hans Zimmer by introducing him to the bois.
Yeah, broke him.
Hans Zimmer was Hans Zimmer. Inception was Hans Zimmer's Freddy Krueger movie. I can't remember what it's called. Nightmare on Elm Street. That's the one. Yeah, it was because it was all set in dreams, and he was coming at people with a blah.
Hans Zimmer has been turned into the Rabbids from Rayman Raving Rabbids, because he's now just an annoying guy that goes blah.
Yeah, like I listened to the Dune soundtrack quite a bit.
Yeah, because you're a psychopath.
Because it's when he needs to stay up. It's when he's not allowed to
sleep.
Yeah,
yeah. And it does feel like if I didn't know it was for Dune, I would say it would be for a slasher movie. It is so odd.
Yep.
That soundtrack, and it is just
all over
the place. It's
unsettling constantly. Never lets you have a moment, and then just goes sometimes.
Just attacks you with musical knives.
We've gone to the East End.
Hans Zimmer. That's the slasher villain that has come out of this chat about slasher movies. He's just there, sat behind his computer, looking at all these screens, just like, who can I kill today?
No. He's Hans Zimmer. He doesn't kill people. He zims them. He is a Zimmer. The film's called The Zimming.
The zimming.
And he zims people.
Oh, I can't wait for the hype around that Chris Nolan trailer for that movie.
Don't worry, you won't be able to hear a word of it.
I went to see Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget yesterday.
That's out? That's in cinemas?
Yeah, out?
Yeah,
I thought that was
going to
be like a streaming only thing.
Well, this is the thing.
Oh dear.
I think it was only one screening yesterday.
You saw the only screening of Chicken Run 2.
Yeah, I saw the only screening of Chicken Run 2. But it was so weird. You know how when you go in to a cinema screen and there's like ushers?
Yeah.
Just sort of like either sitting you down, like if you're going to a posh screening, or like just at the cinema, just checking your tickets.
Pointing vaguely in the direction of all the chairs you can see.
Yeah, yeah. They're usually the staff of the cinema.
Yeah.
Netflix hired two bouncers, effectively, to be at the screening. So there was one guy from the cinema checking my ticket, and then there was two people who stuck out like a sore thumb because they were wearing like suits with ties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just saying like, oh yeah, take your seat, take your seat. If you do get your mobile phone out at any point, I'll have to come round and escort you out of the screening for copyright reasons. I was like, that's just cinema etiquette, right?
That's normal cinema stuff, yeah.
The guy on screen says that. You don't need a guy in real life to say that.
Yeah, and I was sat next to two people who, like, I think we're all part of the same group, but we all bought different tickets at different times. So like, I was sat next to two people who were in the same group, but I didn't know them very well. And we were just sort of like, it was a great icebreaker because we were just sort of like, this is weird. Like, they're just telling us how cinemas work.
Yeah.
And I was like, have Netflix hired these people because they don't know what happens at a cinema and they think that people are just getting their phones out all the time and filming the screen?
If you're going to pirate a film that's on cinema and on streaming, you're going to pirate it using the streaming copy on Netflix.
Yeah.
Have they not like checked a torrent site in 15 years? Camera rips are not the main... I mean, not that I would know.
Yeah.
Camera rips aren't the way people... pirate films anymore.
camera rips are like you'd find on like a VHS in a marketplace in the middle of town.
You'd buy it
like
from Dodgy Dave in the pub.
Yeah, that's a camera rip.
I the only camera rip I've ever seen was of Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3. I had like Toy Story 2 on a camera rip. Toy Story 3 is like so far in the future, like, for camera rips.
Wow. Oh, wow. Like, so we're also just sort of baffled by it. And I was like, by, like, the fact that there was someone there sort of watching over everyone the entire screening.
Oh, wow.
They were just paid to stand there looking at everyone. I was like, I kind of want to get my phone out.
Yeah, now I just want to check my text.
Let's test these two guys.
Is this why they could only afford one screening? Because they thought, oh well, we need to hire the copyright bouncers, and they're too expensive to hire for more than one screening a day. How do cinemas stay running with all the copyright bouncers they got to pay?
I'm glad we're on streaming because if we ran a cinema screen, oh boy, like I don't know how they'd put up with the cost. But like, I was also thinking of just like when it comes out on Netflix, just filming the screen of my TV and going, your bouncers did nothing, Netflix.
Where were your copyright bouncers now?
I would have at the cinema.
Yeah, just here's my address. Bring your bouncers.
I want to talk to your copyright bouncers.
That and like, we were enjoying the film when it was on, but like the guy next to me nudged me and just like, it was that weird that it warranted someone I barely knew nudging me and pointing out that the bouncers at some point brought these little binoculars out just to overlook everyone in the screen.
Wow.
It was so weird. And like, the film was like fine.
I mean, it's Chicken Run 2. What was it ever going to be?
Yeah. Yeah, it was never going to live up to the original Chicken Run. And I made the mistake of doing a double feature and watching Chicken Run 1 a few hours before the screening.
That's gonna set your expectations far too high.
Oh, yeah. Like, me and my friend had a few hours to kill, and basically all we did was talk about how tight that movie was. Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Lives of Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.